Welcome to the weekly teaching program from Finally Alive Ministries with pastor and counselor, Gary Aris. Gary is a full-time pastoral counselor and teacher of God's Word. He has a remarkably deep passion to see people set free in Christ. You may call our prayer line at 657-246-2464 or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. That's prayer@finallyalive.com. Now, let's join Gary as he shares some amazing truth from God's counsel in this week's teaching.
Hello, and welcome to Finally Alive Radio. I'm your host, Gary Aris. Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can download this episode and every other episode on our website, finallyaliveradio.com. So feel free to join us there. And what I want to talk about today, a very important topic, and that is the importance of a father. I might be touching on something that is very touchy to you. But again, my intent is never to hurt anybody or never to offend anybody. But as you grow older and live life long enough, you realize you're going to offend somebody. It's just the way it is. Especially being a Christian, especially a believer in Jesus, you're bound to offend somebody. No way around that, so I've given up on the hopes of not offending anybody. I know I will. I don't mean to, but it is what it is. And I say that because I hope you can realize that, you know, all because we're Christians doesn't mean everyone's going to like us. I say often to people that there should be some who don't like you. And many Christians have difficulty listening, hearing me say something like that. They say, well, if we're Christians, our walk should show our love. And I agree. But you also have to realize there are truths that you are backing and standing up for that some don't want or don't believe in. I often say, Satan better hate you. The evil realm and the evil forces better hate you, because that means you're doing the right thing. So anyway, that's a side note. But fathers, we live in a day and time where it seems manhood and fatherhood are considered unimportant and quite honestly a nuisance. You know, I have difficulty watching TV and watching sitcoms, and maybe the last maybe 15 or 20 years that I can think of. And I find it interesting that the father figure, the husband, is usually a dope. I don't know if you guys have seen that too. Tons of shows that do that. But I don't quite understand that. Why is it that all the men are dopes, dopey, very unintelligent, and everyone else, and not just the wife, even the kids are smarter than the dad? You know, I have a lot of difficulty with that. In fact, I disagree with that. Plain and simple. If you're an adult, chances are you're going to be smarter than the children. So these shows, sometimes I wonder if these shows have a different agenda. And I can't help but to think that is this really, whether intentionally or not, a shot at the father? Remember, God is referred to, even by Jesus, as the father. Jesus says many times, I and the Father are one, or he does what the Father tells him to do, speaking of God. So I can't help but to think that that's a shot at the Father. Again, this world is not going to go along with or believe in or appreciate or love the Father, God. It's naturally going to be anti-God. You know, I think we as believers need to accept the fact that the world doesn't want to accept God. There are those in the world that will accept, but the world won't. Let me read to you a couple verses from John chapter 1, and I'm going to go to verse 6. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, and that light is Jesus, of course, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, speaking of John, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him, speaking of Jesus. And here's the verse, verse 11. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Jesus wasn't received, as it says here, by his own people. Why are we so surprised when the world won't receive Jesus, when Jesus' own people didn't receive him? So let's not fall off our chairs. The world will not accept the light. That's the way it is. The world is darkness. I've said this many times. It's a disgusting world out there. I hate to say that. And I'm not talking about physical filth. I'm talking about the darkness, the evil. You know, and that reminds me of Psalm 14, verse 1 through 3, that says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There's none who does good." Did you hear that? Nobody does good. Outside of God, it really isn't good. Again, that's a very challenging statement I just made there. But really think about it. I'll throw a curveball here at you. If you do something nice, good, charitable, but there was an obvious benefit for you. Example, let's say you're charitable and you give to a charity for the purpose of a tax write-off. Are you really doing good? Really think about that one. Sure, it's a good deed on paper, but is it really good? Jesus says there's none good but God. So was it really good? I'm not saying don't be charitable. Obviously be charitable. The Bible even says be charitable. But if you're doing it for gain, is it really charity? Then I guess the case would be if you're going to give, don't pat yourself on the back. But anyway, Psalm 14, verse 2, "The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God." That's what this is. These sitcoms and the mindset of the world today, it doesn't seek after God, so it's not going to seek after the Father. And guess what? It's going to disrespect men and fatherhood. It has to. Verse 3 says, "They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There's none who does good, not even one." Again, that reigns true today. You know, man is corrupt. I stand by that. Man is corrupt. Without God, without Christ, it has no hope.
Would you like to download this episode for free? Now you can. FinallyAliveRadio.com has every episode ready for download absolutely free. Visit us at FinallyAliveRadio.com. That's FinallyAliveRadio.com.
Let's talk a little bit about dads and fathers and fatherhood. Let's real quick touch on simply the happiness of a male, of a man. Interestingly enough, there's research now that actually shows that men who are fathers are actually happier than men who don't have children. Now, this message isn't to tell you if you don't have children, go have children or else. Remember, this has nothing to do with your salvation. We're just talking about research. But I think there's something to do with a man having a child. And I think only the men who have children can really appreciate what I'm saying here. And quite honestly, I think the spiritual aspect of having a child is getting a glimpse, a tiny glimpse of what God experiences with us as his children. You know, the way a child complains, you know, I remember when my daughter, she was like 3, she would say, you know, "I want to drive." So I would say, "Of course you're going to drive, but you can't drive right now." And she would get upset and she would cry. So, but of course, why would she cry? Well, she's a 3-year-old. She doesn't know any better. But see, I, as the father, understood that. I didn't say no, of course you can drive, but not yet. And that's the way God is with us a lot of times. Many say, you know, God has 3 answers, yes, no, and not yet. lot of times it's not yet. And a lot of times we're like my daughter when she was 3 years old, asking God for big kid stuff when we're not even ready for it. I don't think I would have ever gotten that insight unless I had a chance to be a father. Again, getting a glimpse of what God sees all the time, all day long. I think it adds to the sense of purpose in life too. When I've seen it. I've seen it with many people where they're doing really well. They're well off. And some of them are single, you know, and you know, they kind of had what I would call dead eyes. Sure, they've got everything, but they really have nothing. Again, this isn't to condemn anyone who doesn't have children. Of course, you're loved no different than I am by God. But again, we're just looking at the research and just seeing differences here and how that page one of the Bible, be fruitful and multiply, how deep that reigns in us. And I'm just so happy to live in a time right now that, you know, so much research can be done. You know, today we know so much more about a lot of things, including the Bible. I mean, archaeology has helped us understand things even more. But sticking with our topic here with fatherhood, they've done studies on fathers and their daughters. And this one reigns dear to my heart because I have a daughter. I have a daughter and a son, but specifically with my daughter. But a father having a connection with their daughter. You got to realize that little girl's first experience of a man is going to be their father. At least that's what it's supposed to be. You know, this is where they're going to see and experience what it is to be with the opposite sex. What is to be expected? How are they treated? And how they're supposed to treat the man. Now, here's what's interesting is when the father-daughter relationship is good, it's healthy. And what's healthy? In a nutshell, there is no strain on the relationship. I'm not saying perfect. Listen to me carefully. I'm not saying you have to have a perfect relationship. Nobody has a perfect relationship. But a relationship that lacks any strain. So when it lacks strain and the relationship is warm and loving, they learn that the daughters had lower cortisol levels. And again, the opposite was true is if they had a strained or hard or difficult relationship, they would have high cortisol levels. So if a child or anybody was to have high cortisol levels, you're going to see a spike in stress. They're going to be less healthy. Sometimes weight gain, flushed face, mood swings, anxiety is usually higher, fatigue, you know, muscle aches and pain. More likely to, you know, break a bone, for example, you know, high blood pressure, things of this sort tends to happen with, you know, the high cortisol levels. But again, the good relationship has low cortisol levels, which means better health. So if the father-daughter have a healthy relationship, the daughter is more likely to physically be healthier. Isn't that amazing? You know, I often say in counseling sessions, you know, one thing affects the other. You know, the soul, spirit, body, trio, if you will. You know, one cannot live without the other, which also means that one can affect the other. If you're spiritually hungry, it's going to affect other places in your life. If your spiritual foundation is not strong, well, that's going to affect your mental state, and which will eventually affect your physical state. One affects the other. That's just the way that is. So anyway, because they had the lower cortisol levels, they were healthier, therefore less stressed. And if there was stress, they responded to the stress better. You know, if they were in a stressful situation, they can handle it better. Coping mechanisms of life were better. And they, you know, and they were less likely to be reactive to things. The daughters might have a better ability to slow down and respond rather than react. You know, these things are priceless. You can't buy that kind of knowledge. Sure, you can learn it, and that's great. And many of us do, and many of us have, and that's okay. But for those who are fathers, you know, now is your chance. If you have little children, now is your chance. Spend that quality time with those kids. And notice I said quality time, not quantity time. You know, research has also shown it's not the amount of time that you spend with the children, it's the quality of that time. You can be with a kid all day long, but if you watch TV all day long with that kid, it's just quantity, it's not quality. You know, I've recently adopted walking to school with my daughter. And it's the most interesting thing is I feel like our bond has strengthened. You know, and she's only 8 right now. She's a little girl. But, you know, we chit-chat and I get these moments to kind of tell her and help her how to deal with her life, how to deal with her friends. You know, nobody else can do that except for me. Because I'm her dad. And the unintended consequence, which I'm happy to say, is we get to walk and we get a little bit of exercise. So it's good for everybody. It works all around. But see, that's my quality time with my daughter. It's about 20 to 25 minutes in the morning. And it's just her and I. We walk and we talk. And we can talk about anything. Nothing is off the table. She can bring up anything. And I'd love to hear it because I'd rather know than not know. You know, our job as parents, listen to me carefully, our job as parents isn't to raise kids. That's right. Don't raise kids. Our job is to raise good adults. In my case with my daughter, it's my job to raise her up to be a good wife. And to one day be a good mother. That is my ultimate goal. And one day that will be hers. And of course, the foundation to all that is going to be God. Her knowing and having a relationship of her own with the Lord. That is the responsibility of a parent. So, Dad, you have a huge effect on how she deals with stress and stressful situations. So make note of that. And, you know, there's always these talks of, you know, self-esteem. And what goes along with self-esteem a lot with girls and women is going to be body image, the way they see themselves. And, you know, and when it comes to self-esteem, my two cents is this. I don't see any evidence that self-esteem is built by complimenting your kids, especially complimenting them for mediocre work. I mean, for example, if you have a 15-year-old daughter and you praise them for finishing, you know, their cereal in the morning, yay, great job, you know, clapping, wonderful, good job. That's, I think you're going a little bit overboard there. That isn't going to build self-esteem. That's probably going to build a prideful child who thinks anything that they do is worth praise. No, rather, I think self-esteem is built with a healthy relationship with your child. You know, when dad doesn't make fun of their kids or doesn't make fun of a little girl's body, rather the father shows love and care and compassion, that child naturally begins to see themselves in a positive way. And their self-esteem is actually built that way because of the relationship with their father. Doesn't that sound like something spiritual? It is. You know, the natural is a shadow of the spiritual. So you can see the same thing happening with your relationship with God. Think about it. If you had a better relationship with God, I think you're going to have less issues with your own esteem, your own self-esteem, maybe your own body image issues, because God accepts you the way you are. If you believe in Jesus, you are accepted. There's no way around that. You know, the most famous Bible verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That's you. You're in the world, aren't you? So you are loved. And what was the proof? That he gave his only begotten son. That one of a kind son, Jesus, sent it to be sacrificed for the world. That's you. Don't ever forget that. You are loved. And no, don't get that confused with I don't feel loved. Feeling is different than actually being loved. Being loved doesn't necessarily have a feeling tied to it. Though it's nice to have the feeling tied to it. But don't get those two confused. You can be loved without feeling loved. I know that's a little confusing. For example, you know, all because perhaps I don't say the word I love you, for example, doesn't necessarily mean I don't love that person. So make note of the difference, you know, feeling loved, which is important, I understand that, versus being loved. If I had to do a comparison there, I would prefer to be loved than to feel loved, because the feeling can fade, the feeling can change. Being loved is a lot more secure. So make a note of that. You know, what a father also tells his daughter affects her deeply. Remember, you are the main male figure in her life. You know, if we're going to raise up good future wives and future mothers, then we have to be aware of not being critical. You know, extreme criticism can break them down and actually put a false sense of belief within them. And that's usually where the negative body image issues start. And I'm not saying you can't correct them. There's a difference between correcting a child and being critical about everything that they do. You know, sometimes we as parents, especially Christians, I know we want good kids. I know we want good children. We want them to be well-behaved and do well in school. And these are all important things. And by all means, I've got nothing against those things. But there's a difference when we're being very critical and very perfectionistic. You know, I'm going to tell you something right now. That perfectionistic attitude within us has to be placed at the altar of God. You've got to let that thing die on the cross of Jesus Christ. Perfectionism will become a sickness. It's not a good thing. Perfectionism is going to be the way Satan uses you to divide and conquer your own home. Listen to me carefully. Perfectionism is not a good thing. I personally struggle with that. You know, I tend to be a perfectionist. And I've got to lay that down before the cross. I got to lay that down before God. Because that is a huge hindrance. And imagine if I put that on my own children. They're going to doubt themselves unintentionally. So I'm being very frank with you. I struggle with these things too. So guess what? You and I are not that different. But lay that down before the Lord. Let go of your perfectionism. This is my take on perfectionism. This is what helps me at least. Rather than trying to be perfect, I'm going to do the best that I can to do an excellent job. That goes across with everything. From my walk with the Lord, I'm going to do my best to do an excellent job. To this show right now, I'm going to do my best to do an excellent job. You know what that means? I might have a stutter. I might misquote something. I might say something wrong. It happens. It's life. And there have been times when, you know, they say, oh, why don't you cut this part out or replace it or re-record it? I say, no, let's just leave it the way it is. Because that's who I am. That's me. If I messed it up, you know, if there's a small glitch, leave it. So what? You know, if someone's going to judge me based on a small glitch, you know, I don't need friends like that. I don't need listeners like that. So I hope that's not what's being judged here. That's what they would call majoring in minor things. So don't major in minor things. So be aware of perfectionistic attitudes. Because that in itself is what Satan will use to divide and conquer you and your family. So again, we can see how a father's healthy relationship with their daughter is going to help them with their self-esteem, with any type of body image issue. And obviously, which goes hand in hand, is you're going to have less chances of that kid being and or staying depressed. You're going to have less issues with eating disorders. I mean, what a great trade-off. Imagine having a good relationship with your daughter actually will make her physically and mentally more healthy. Do you see how one thing affects so many things? So I'll take a pause here, and I'll continue on with the rest of this next time. But let's also talk about really quick before we close, what if you can't have this type of relationship with your daughter? What if you're divorced? What if you don't see your kids every day? What if your kids are already grown up? This is what you do. You do the best you can. Remember, it's not about the quantity of time, but it's going to be the quality of time. You know, it's not what you buy your kids. It's what you show your kids. It's what you train them up to be. That's what dads do. We tend to be more trainers. We're less nourishing. We're more trainers. It's the way we are. That's just the nature of men. But do your best to have quality of time. Now, if you have issues with your kids, maybe in some cases, you know, they don't want to talk to you, they don't like you, or something bad happened, and you guys aren't talking anymore. Well, Dad, you do your best to put your differences aside and talk to your kids. You know, if you're a dad, more than likely, you can put your pride aside for the sake of the relationship so you can still be a dad. Take care of your kids and love your kids. You know, and there are those rare cases where maybe the dad puts their pride aside and apologizes to their adult children, and that adult child won't accept it. Well, guess what, Dad? You just keep praying. Okay, let some time pass. A lot of times, time will heal it. Allow God to do His things in these cases. Is it difficult? Of course it is. I'm not saying something that's easy. We're trying to do our best with what we have. That's all we can do. Things happen. Life happens. Arguments happen. Misunderstandings happen. Mishaps happen. Of course they do. Now, to the daughter who didn't have that relationship with their dad, perhaps there was a divorce and, you know, your dad didn't live nearby, or you didn't get to see your dad often, or maybe you had a dad who was, you know, abusive, or, you know, an alcoholic, or used drugs or something of that sort. Well, look, you need to find peace with that. And that's not easy. These are not easy words that I'm telling you. But you will need to find peace with that. And I always recommend women who have these types of issues. And by the way, you're not by yourself. You're not alone on this one. This, unfortunately, is a common issue, so you're definitely not alone. But I would say, look for a male figure. You know, pray if you must that God brings in an older male figure, a father figure in your life. You can usually find, you know, people like this in church or settings of that sort. You know, older men, perhaps married, you know, maybe a grandpa. You know, someone who has a fathering heart and isn't going to get weird with you. So you do also have to be aware of that. Let's not naively build a relationship that's going to be unhealthy. But, you know, you want a father figure who isn't going to take advantage of you and treat you and love you like a father would. These people exist. You know, men exist, and especially men who have been fathers. They know and they've seen it and they've experienced it. Again, we're not looking for the perfect father figure. Sometimes it's a father figure who isn't the best, but God can replace that person too. And if you feel like the relationship's getting weird, look, you can distance yourself and ask God to replace that person. That's okay too. But that quench of a father has to be fulfilled by a healthy relationship. You know, some women, I'll even go here, some women will date older men, way older men, because of that hunger of a man when they were children. That happens too. So be aware of that. We don't want that. We want a relationship that's healthy. Again, these are just simple things I can share on the radio, but if you feel like you need more help, by all means, seek professional help. Go to your church. Talk to your pastor. Talk to somebody. And share these things with them, because these are things that won't just stop on their own. They're not just going to go away. You know, these things need to be dealt with, and only you can deal with them. So we'll continue on with this next time. So until then, God bless you.
Thank you again for joining us on this week's program with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris of Finally Alive Ministries. We pray that if God has touched your heart with any part of today's teaching, you would respond and move into the healing that God has for you. Visit us at finallyalive.com. There, you can download this episode for free, email your concerns, questions, or share a story of how God is using this teaching to help you grow in Christ and His freedom. If you'd like to call our prayer line, you may do so at 657-246-2464. That's 657-246-2464, or email at prayer@finallyalive.com. We will meet you again next week at this same time when we look at God's Word with Pastor and Counselor Gary Harris and learn how to finally be alive in Christ.